24. I know we started out by reading 2 Peter this morning, and we'll end up in 2 Peter just for a brief moment. And I do want to say again that what we're looking at, this is not something that's fabricated, not something that's made up. I know that probably 98% of the people in this building this morning believe this doctrine. And for those of you who do not believe in it, I do trust that you'll study the Scriptures to show yourself approved unto God, and that you get clarity from the Scriptures. Now understand this. If someone does not believe in the in sovereign salvation, then you're going to have a problem with a lot of verses in the Bible, because it's in the Bible. And we'll see this morning as we go through the Bible. It's all in the Bible. We will not even scratch the surface on Scripture this morning, speaking of sovereign salvation. And there are other words for it, and we'll look at that later on. But again, if you have questions, I would encourage you to hold these questions, write them down, and let's meet back up, and let's go over Bible looking at these things. Ain't you glad we got the Bible for clarity and not man's opinion? Amen. All right. John 12:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Now, this is where we're headed. We got to this verse, going through John verse by verse. We'll be looking at the atoning death of Jesus Christ, His resurrection, and from this comes forth much fruit, from the atoning death of Christ. If Christ had not died and then was raised again, we would have no hope whatsoever. None. But yet Christ did. Therefore, much fruit comes forth from this. We've learned last week that life is bound up in Christ. And Christ, as a seed, a corn of wheat, is planted. It must die. And from that, life springs forth. Correct? And same thing with Christ. He is the resurrection, the truth, and the life, the Bible tells us. So in the coming weeks, we'll look at His actual atonement. So what we've done is when we got to this verse, we've actually backed up a little bit and looked at some other doctrines to build a biblical case for the doctrine of actual atonement. I hate for us just to go into something and not know why we're there or how we got here. And that's why I like to take our time as we go verse by verse, build upon these things. Therefore, we are more grounded in the Word of God. We are strong in the faith. Thank God for the faith. When I say faith, I mean the gospel of Jesus Christ and knowing about Christ. Last week, again, we looked at total human inability. Man, in his natural state, hath neither power nor the desire to come to Christ. We are totally unable and unwilling to save ourselves. Let's go back again to Romans chapter 3 to do a little bit of recapping, and then we'll go forth from here. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good." How many? No, not one. We understand this. We know this, and we looked at this last week in depth. And if you want to go back and listen to it, you can go to our site and listen to it. Now go to Romans 5:6. So we see that there's none that does good. There's none that seeks after God whatsoever in our lost state. In our lost state, no one does. Look in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. "For when we were yet without" what? "Strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Without strength means more feeble, impotent, sick. Without strength, infirm, weak, feeble. I mean, this is what it means. In a moral sense, wretched, disease. So in other words, we are in a state of sin and wretchedness. If you remember last week, John 3:19, that men love darkness rather than what? Light. Man does not want to come to the light. He likes his darkness. Listen, in our lost state, we love darkness and didn't want to come to the light. I think we can all attest to that in our own testimonies and looking back and when Christ began to draw us and then when He saved us and how at one time in our life. Now listen, the Lord saves people at different ages. I understand that. Why? You got to ask Him that. I'm not God. Amen. I don't know. Why is it that some people get saved on the deathbed? Why is it that some people get saved as a young child? I have no idea. Knowing what I know now, I would have liked to have been saved like John the Baptist. Amen. In the womb. Hello. Amen. Because I'm not proud of the life I used to live. Thank God for His grace. Now, this is the state that we are born into. Dead in trespasses and sins. Therefore, we have no power to save ourselves, nor do we desire to be saved. Folks, this is a terrible place to be. Terrible place to be. Because of our depraved state, soul salvation must be a work and can only be a work of God. Sovereign salvation. Understand, folks, the way people view God today is blasphemy. People view God as a puppet on a string, as someone they run to and just pull Him out and says, I need this, voila, thank you, and I'll see you later. People see God as being at our beck and call. In other words, there's a role reversal there. We become God and He becomes servant. But as Brother Dustin pointed out this morning in his devotion, He is the master, we are the servants. Understand that God is in total control. Hence the word sovereign. No one controls God. He is self-sufficient. He is not dependent upon anyone or anything. He is sovereign God. Sovereign means supreme in power, possessing supreme dominion as a sovereign prince. Now understand that God possesses the highest authority. Now watch this. He possesses the highest authority without control. In other words, no one is above God. No one controls God. If someone did control God, if someone could change God, then God would cease to be God. Salvation. In the Christian sense, salvation is deliverance from sin and its spiritual consequences and admission to eternal life with blessedness in the kingdom of Christ. Now, remember that mankind is born dead in trespasses and sins, and we are unable to save ourselves. So then God, who is sovereign over all, had a plan from before the foundation of the world. Now folks, God never shoots from the hip. God is never guessing. God does everything decently and in order. I think about Christ coming into this world. Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of the time was what? Come. At the exact time that God would have Christ come into this world, it happened. Right. It didn't matter what else was going on. Listen, let's say it this way. God's in control of all things. Right. Not just some things. He's sovereign. And salvation is a work of God's sovereignty. God must do the saving because we cannot save ourselves. Romans 3:26 says, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is God that justifies us. Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. God completes the work He starts in us. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll start in verse 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes the inspired word. Says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. The word will there means it was determined of God that Paul would be an apostle. More than that, that Paul would be saved, but we'll get there in a second. To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, when was Paul saved? Well, most of us know the story of Paul on the road to Damascus, correct? On the Damascus road in Acts chapter 9. Christ interrupted Paul's life. Let me ask you this. Why did Christ wait to do it till then? Galatians chapter 1 verse 15, Paul tells us why. Galatians 1:15 says, but when it did what? Pleased who? God. Folks, understand that sovereign salvation is about God. I know we try to make things man-centered today, but our lives should be God-centered. I was sent a picture one day by a man who drives a big truck, and he sent a picture, and there's a big billboard on the side of the interstate that says some particular church and says, we are about people. Now, do you know what message that's proclaiming? We're about people. In other words, we want to make you feel good. We want to make you happy. Folks, we are to be about who? God. It is God that deserves the honor and the glory. It is God whom we are to please, not ourselves. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. The word pleased here in Galatians 1:15 means to determine, resolve, choose with pleasure to do something. So here in Galatians 1:15 is speaking of God. In short, God chose to save Paul of His own good pleasure. Now look back in Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is this grace and peace coming from? God. Where's the focus still at? God. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Again, where's the focus at? It's on God. Look at verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. He here is speaking of who? Y'all with me this morning? Who is He speaking of? Speaking of God. Now what is it that God has done here? As He hath what? Chosen. Now, I told you this morning it's going to be more of a teaching than preaching, but I can't help but preach a little bit, okay? Now, hath chosen is simple, undefined action occurring, watch this, in past time. And we'll see that in a minute as we get to the rest of the scripture. The subject here, which is God, as acting in some way upon Himself or concerning Himself. So God, before time began, acted in some way without any, watch this, outside influence. None whatsoever. God did something. What was it that God did? The Bible says, hath chosen. chosen is to choose out with the accessory idea of kindness, favor, and love. With kindness, favor, and love. How about Romans 5:8? But God commendeth His love toward who? Us. Who's the us? The chosen. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for who? Us. The chosen. And we'll get there when we look at actual atonement. Now here's a question. When did God choose out? What did God choose out? And how did God choose out? So when did God do this choosing? Look in verse 4. According as He has chosen us in Him from when? Before. That's in the world. In other words, before creation. Period. Before He ever spoke time into existence as we know it. Spoke this world into existence as we know it. Listen to me. In eternity's past, this was ordained, and we'll look at all those words here in a little while. Now God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Listen, He did this in love. In other words, He chose to show us His love. Are we catching that? We'll look at some more words here in a few minutes in some of these other verses. There's a word. The kids laughed at me last night because y'all know I can't speak. Right? And I have trouble with the way some words are put together. What's that word say? Benevolence. What's that word mean? Love. It is the Strong's number, 25. Greek word. Amen? Benevolence. It's love. God chose to show His love toward us. Now, when did He choose this? Before the nation of the world. Now, let's go. Now, this gives a whole new meaning to John 3:16, doesn't it? For God so what? Who? Who's the world He's speaking of here? Whoa, y'all just kind of clammed up on me a little bit. Huh? Wow. Wow. So what did He do for those of us whom He has chosen from before the foundation of the world? What did He do? He sent His only begotten Son. That whosoever... Now, who's the whosoever there? We've learned this. Jew or Gentile. That whosoever does what? Believeth in Him shall not perish but have what? Lasting life. Now folks, I know that we know these things most of the time, most of us. But do you see how when we break these scriptures down, how it causes other scriptures to line up? Now folks, if people have a problem with, I'll go ahead and use this term, unconditional election, then you got problems with Ephesians chapter 1. Because we're in verse 4. We hadn't even got started good. Then you've also got problems with Romans chapter 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. 2 Peter, 1 Peter. You've got problems with this right here. And every time you read these scriptures, you'll try to explain it away. Do you know how I know that? Because I was there. At one time, I tried to explain it away. I said, that's not the case. There's no way. Try to stay away from it. But now, since the Lord has shown me these things, I'm drowning in it. Lord, give me some more. Pour it on me, God. I thank God for His grace. Look in verse 5. having did what? Did y'all just, that's a bad word. At least it is in some circles. Having what? Who's the us here? Go back to verse 4. The chosen, right? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, as long as we obeyed and got baptized and joined the church. Is that what it says? No. According to the good pleasure of his will. Now, let's back up to the beginning of verse 5. Having predestinated. This word predestinated is to limit in advance, to predetermine, determine before, ordain, predestinate. It is used to declare God's eternal decrees of both the objects and goal of his plan of salvation. Now, who are the objects of this salvation? Those whom he hath what? Chosen to save. What's the goal here? That he be glorified. Also, this words, according to his good pleasure. You see that? That comes back to this right here. Isn't that amazing? Now, what is God? God is 1 John 4 tells us God is love. Let me ask you this. Does God also hate? Yes, he does. And we've already went over that. Not going to go over it again this morning. But folks, we cannot run from the Scriptures. Nor can we make something up that's not there. We must abide by the Scriptures all the time in all things. If we do this, we become strong in the faith. Where does faith come from? Hearing what? The Word of God. And when there are those things that rub on us the wrong way, do you know what we should do? Is go home and study it. If you really want to know, guess what you'll do? You'll really study it. Let me say this quickly. I can remember coming up having never heard the words election or predestinated or chosen or good possibility. I read these words and just went right over them, not thinking nothing about them. But I had a teacher one time who was constantly telling us how this was wrong, how this was wrong, how this was wrong. And I'm like, yes, that is wrong. And then Scripture started not lining up. Does that make sense? In my mind. Scriptures never contradict each other. Y'all hear me this morning?
Right.
I don't care who it is that's saying it. Scripture never contradicts each other. So years later, I began to study some of these things. Because I wanted to know for my own. This may sound crazy, but I stopped reading commentaries for about 2 years. I stopped listening to preaching on the radio for about 2 years. Because you know what I wanted to know? I wanted to know the truth without being influenced from anyone around me. Amen? I studied and studied, prayed. I wrestled with these things. Because this wasn't easy to take in. Some of you this morning, I see it in your faces. This is not easy to take in. And you're wrestling with it even right now. Hopefully by the time we finish this morning, you'll understand more about how God is sovereign and salvation. Do y'all believe God's sovereign? In everything or just a few things? Now, folks, we've got to be careful how we say this now. Because some folks want to jump up and say, yes, he's sovereign in everything, but I've got my own free will here I can do things with. Well, then is he sovereign or not? Amen? Now, folks, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm simply telling you, well, some of you, what's going on inside right now. do you know, at one time there were things I wouldn't believe because others believed a different way. So I said, I'm going to believe how they believe because I don't want to believe how they believe without ever studying for myself. Have y'all ever done that? Some of y'all have probably come up being taught that the best vehicle in the world is a Chevrolet. And then you get out and about and you buy a Ford and you find out you've been lied to your whole life. So you call home and tell your daddy he needs to get him a Ford because that Chevy he's got just ain't going to make it. And that's a simple earthly illustration. You know, at one time people thought the world was what? And if you believed differently, they would kill you. Some people would. But they'd kill you. But then there were people such as Columbus who said, nah, let's strike out. And guess what they found out? The world is... Yes. They also said at one time that everything went around, or orbited around what? The sun went around, the earth stood still. But now we found out what? The earth moves around the sun. Let's get in the Word of God. Let's study it. Not for our own honor and glory. Now, folks, understand, sometimes we can... What does knowledge do? Puffeth up, maketh us prideful. Makes us cold, makes us hardened to others. We should never be hardened with others. We should always want to present the gospel. Look at verse 6. Now, why does God choose? Why does God predestinate? Look at verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted and the what? Beloved. He hath made everyone who has and will be and will believe accepted and the beloved. Accepted is to bestow grace, highly honor, or greatly favor. So God, before the foundation of the world, chose us in Him to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath accepted us in the Beloved, to bestow grace upon us and honor and greatly favor. Now, when did He do this? Before the foundation of the world. In other words, this was done, please hear me, without any kind of influence from anything or anyone else. God didn't look down and says, oh, I feel sorry for that one. I think I better save that one. No one come to God and say, God, you got to save this one right here, right here. Lord, save this one right here, right here. Oh, when was this established? From the foundation of the world. Beloved is to love, to regard with strong affection. Again, Romans 5:8. God loved us while we were yet sinners. Look in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. If y'all think this is tough, wait till we get further and look at the actual atonement. And when I say that, it's not a potential atonement, it's an actual atonement. Look at Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love, same word there, love your wives. As Christ also loved the church, and what did He do? Now who did He give Himself for? Church. Who makes up the church? Saved. Wow. Y'all catching that? Let's keep going. Lord, help us. Verses 7 through 11, back in Ephesians chapter 1. In whom We have redemption. And we've been learning about this in Colossians on Wednesday nights. Folks, has that been a good study? That's been a good study. And then we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Watch this. According to His good pleasure. Again, it goes back to this right here. Love. Which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Now, folks, we have been chosen unto salvation and love according to the purpose of God who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Hence, sovereign salvation. Sovereign salvation. This is very humbling. Stop and think about it for a second. Who are you compared to someone else who's not saved? Well, was there something about you that God said, hey, I think I'm going to save that person because of something about them? No. Folks, do we understand that God saved us, nothing about us? God chose to save us. Folks, that is humbling. Do you understand that we did not deserve salvation? We deserve today, presently, to be in the depths of hell and utter torments. That's what we deserve. Yet God, in eternity's past, chose to show us favor, love. How dare we kick against that? I'll be so bold to say this. How dare we sin knowing this? Yet we do sin. And folks, as we look more at the doctrine of actual atonement, we'll have a better understanding of what we deserve. Let me say this also, as we get further into this. Also having a right understanding of sovereign salvation brings clarity and confidence to the perseverance of the saints. Do you understand that if God ordained from eternity's past to save us, nothing can change that? And nothing and no one can pluck us, as John 10 says, out of His what? Hand. Do you see how this kind of, it lines up. We're building. Becoming stronger in the Lord. Now, does this mean that we just sit down at the house and do nothing? No. We're to be busy about the Lord's work. We're to go out and spread the gospel. That is our responsibility. One plants, one waters, and God does what? Gives the increase. So we understand, according to the Bible, that we are chosen to salvation by God from before the foundation of the world. It is God that chooses. It is God that justifies. It is God that sanctifies. It is God that glorifies, Romans chapter 8. And it is God that receives all the honor and glory. We did nothing to earn favor with God. So this leads us to some questions. Don't we have to have faith in order to be saved? Of course. Got to have faith. But the Bible says, ain't it? Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Some more passages that we know. We quote them all the time. We hear them quoted all the time. For by grace are ye saved, Ephesians 2:8, through what? Faith. Ain't that great? Look at these next five words. And that not of yourselves. In other words, your faith is not of you. This faith to believe is not something that you muster up. It's not something that you have earned. It's not something that's been inside of you the whole time. No, listen, this faith, watch what it says here in verse 8. It is the gift of God. Grace and faith, both gifts of God. So where does this faith come from for us to believe? Now, we learned last week that we are dead and trespasses and sins, right? So God must first quicken us, make us alive. And listen, folks, this process of regeneration, it is, in a sense, mind-boggling, but it is awesome. And in this same time, God gives us the faith to do what? Trust Him. Therefore, God still receives the honor and the glory. I can't go around saying, hey, look at my faith. This is what I had. I earned it. I mustered up the faith to believe in Jesus Christ. Look what I did. No, our faith comes from Him. Therefore, He gets the honor and the glory. This is a part of the working of God's grace, which is a part of sovereign salvation. Another question is, didn't we at some point have a desire to come to Jesus Christ? Didn't that happen somewhere? Well, look in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Again, these are scriptures that we know. And I'm glad we know them. John chapter 1, verse 12. John 1, 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of who? So who gave us this desire to come to Christ? God did. It's not of ourselves either. Folks, I'm not sure if we grasp this. I'm going to preach a funeral tomorrow. Pray for us. A lady that I've known most of my life died Friday evening. You know what? She's dead. Her soul, spirit, is where? Heaven. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. But her body is dead. What can that body do? Nothing. I know that we went over this last week. A dead body can do nothing. It has no desire, does it? So therefore, God must, in sovereign salvation, through His love towards us, He gives us a desire for who? Him. His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, He opens up our eyes, our minds, our ears. We can see and hear, and then we see who we are. We see who He is, and guess what we do? We run to Jesus Christ unto the honor and glory of God. This takes us back to Ephesians chapter 1. God the Father has purposed to give a people, listen to this, to His Son. And there's a lot of history involved here that I don't quite grasp. I haven't had time to study on all that history. But the Father is given, in a sense, a bride to His Son. Look in John chapter 6. Some people say, oh, but if Witcher's teaching is true, then if someone desires to come to Christ and they're not elected, then they can't come. If that's your mindset, then you haven't heard anything I've said this morning. No one desires to come to Christ unless God gives them that desire. Watch verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is not talking about physical. This is spiritual. Verse 36, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me. Watch this, and what? They didn't believe, did they? But look at verse 37. All that the Father giveth me, what? Shall come to me. Will come to me. will come. God gives you this desire for Jesus Christ, you will go to Him. And watch the rest of verse 37. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Listen, folks, as God gives you that desire, you go to Christ, He is going to save you. Amen. This is a working of sovereign salvation. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, washed out of all which He hath given me. When did He give them to Christ? Positionally. For the nation of the world. I should lose nothing. 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 No one. But should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. How many? Everyone that does what? Seeth and believeth. May have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day, as another promise there. Look at verse 44. No man can come to me. If you're writing your Bibles, I want to encourage you to underline, no man can. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. This means to literally drag. And I will raise him up at the last day. No man can except it were given him of who? Look at verse 65. He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now, who gets the honor and glory here? God does. We can't come, and we don't want to come, because we love darkness rather than what? But when God quickens us, gives us this desire and this faith, guess what we do? Go to who? Christ. Does Christ say, no, I better not. He don't do that, does he? He turns no one away whom the Father gives him. No one. It doesn't matter what you drive. Amen? Let us use another word that shows God's sovereign salvation. Let's go here to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now please hear me. If you are not grasping this and you want to, I'll be here tonight at 5 o'clock. Come. Amen. Don't come to argue. Not going to argue. But come. Let's sit down. Let's break open the Scriptures. Let me say this. Whenever I was struggling with all these things, I had really no one to go to. I talked to Brother Jeremy back and forth a little bit with these things. I think he was struggling with some of the same things at the same time. But I didn't have anyone to go to. Not that I can remember. Who was grounded in these areas to help me understand. I think about Ananias and Sapphira. Apollos. They took Apollos under their wing and helped him with what? The Scriptures. I want to be a blessing. I'm not trying to be rude at all. But if you're struggling with some of these things, let's sit down, let's talk about it. And if you got Scripture proven otherwise, hey, great. But you won't find any. Second Peter 1:10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. This word election. Here again is this word right here. Because this time it's with a T. Vanilla vent. Something. It is the benevolent. The love, purpose of God, by which any are chosen unto salvation, so that they are led to embrace and persevere in Christ's bestowed grace and the enjoyment of its privileges and blessings here and hereafter. Now, folks, this is the Greek definition for the word election. This is not something made up, not something conjured up. This is what this word says in the Greek. The purpose of God by which any are chosen unto salvation. Who is this? The elect. The doctrine of election. This means that God's intention was according to the principle of election, which God's free choice or free will, without being affected by any outside circumstance or the worth of the individuals concerned. No outside circumstance and no worth of that individual influenced God one way or the other. It was God's intention and His principle election. 1 Thessalonians Chapter 1, verse 4. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning, what? Chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Let me say this. One thing about learning these things is that as you start reading the Bible, you start seeing it. It starts coming to light. Hey, there's another one. More scripture. Boom. 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 It's joyous. Let me read it again. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So then the next question that comes up, well, doesn't God choose us because God looks ahead and sees who's going to choose Him? Have you ever heard that? Have you ever seen that in the Bible? Huh? No, you know why? It ain't in there. Right? Let's turn to, let's look at 1 Peter, since we're right there. Chapter 1, verse 2. Folks, let me say this clearly and plainly. We cannot, with our own mindset, make a definition for the words in the Bible. We must study these words. There's a reason they have a definition that goes with them. Amen? Verse 2 of 1 Peter. Well, let's start in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Verse 2, elect according to the what? Foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. That is a great scripture dealing with the Trinity also. But look, elect according to the what? Foreknowledge of God. Again, what do most people say about this word foreknowledge? It means that God looked ahead and said, oh, they're going to choose me, so I'm going to elect them. I want you to stop and think about that for a second. Truly, truly think about it. If God's got to look ahead, that means that God does not know. which means that God is not sovereign. Which means that God is reacting to our actions, which makes a role reversal and makes us what? God and God's servant. Y'all catching that? Yet, the Bible teaches that God is sovereign and that we are servants. Now keep this in mind. I'm fixing to give you the definition for this word foreknowledge, but let's turn to Acts 2 first. Acts 2:23. Now keep in mind, often we've heard that foreknowledge is, again, God looking ahead and saying, oh, that's what's going to happen. So now I know. Acts 2:23, him, speaking of Jesus Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and, see that? Foreknowledge of God. Now, if that's what that word means, then God didn't even know how his own son was going to die. If that's what that word means. In other words, God said, oh, that's how they're going to kill my son. Looks good to me. No, let's keep reading. You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Foreknowledge. Are you ready? It is the word forethought. But not in the sense of saying, oh. It is used to denote the foreordained purpose and counsel of God in salvation. And that's the definition I got from the Greek. That's not something I made up. Read it again. It is used to denote the foreordained purpose and counsel of God in salvation. Foreknowledge. Are you ready? Foreknowledge. Foreordained. Predestined. Sovereign salvation. Who gets the honor and glory here? God does. God gets it all. So here comes the next question. How do I know that I'm part of the elect? That's a legitimate question. And the Bible tells us in 1 John 5:13, what's it tell us? These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Some people teach that you don't know till you die. That's heresy. Outright heresy. Folks, we can know. And we know according to the Word of God. So here's some questions to ask yourself. Has He quickened you? Ephesians 2:1 says, you hath He what? Quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. He gives us grace and faith. We looked at already Ephesians 2:8-9. He gives us, listen, grace to repent. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are come new. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortionists, shall inherit the kingdom of God. These people are lost according to their lifestyle. Verse 11, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So what happens here, listen, God takes these kind of people. He elects the worst and makes them the best. For His honor and glory. He gives us grace to repent. He gives us this desire to run to Him, faith to trust Him. Do you know what else He gives us? A love for Him. Please hear me this morning. Those of you who serve half-heartedly, you say, I'm just not surrendered to Christ. You have not surrendered to Christ because you do not belong to Christ. So I just don't have a love to get up and read. Check your salvation. Examine yourself. I don't have a love for the brethren. The Bible says, we know we pass from death unto life because what? We love the brethren. We love Him because He first loved us. 1 John 4:19. Do you know something else we love? It's the Scriptures. Psalms 119:47. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. We also live a lifestyle of constant cleansing. A lifestyle of repentance. A lifestyle of always turning to Christ and away from sin. Listen, folks, sin is all around us. Sin, Paul says, dwells where? The sin that dwells in me, battles with me. So Paul, no doubt, lived a lifestyle of repentance, as you and I must live a lifestyle of repentance, always turning to Christ. Purifying our hearts because He is pure. Look in Colossians chapter 3, starting verse 5, and we'll read all of chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Colossians 3:5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. Watch this: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. All who? Those who He's chosen. Put on therefore as the elect of God, here it is again, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies and kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Watch this. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Folks, if you cannot forgive, it's because you have not been forgiven. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Uh-oh. This will get interesting. Verse 18. Now understand that if we are saved, there are going to be characteristics of a saved person in us. You can't help but change if Christ lives inside of you. Look at verse 18. Wives, How do you know that you're saved and walking with the Lord? You'll do what? I ain't heard a word. Huh? I've heard the men. Men, let's be quiet for a second. Women? I still can't hear y'all. All on three, ready? One, two, three. Y'all was not excited about that. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. In other words, do it as unto the Lord. Watch this next part. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, what are we to do? Love your wives. There you go. And be not bitter against them. Children, what are you to do? Obey your parents. Let's hear you say it. Children, do what? Y'all's mamas must be raising y'all because y'all responded the same way they did. Not with excitement. In all things, for this is what? Watch this. Well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Folks, simply, there's a reason I read all that scripture is because when we are saved, we begin to line up with scripture. We may not even know all the scripture. Because of the work that God does in us, we begin to line up. And then as we learn scripture, we learn more of how to line up even more, more perfectly. Very important to you and I stay in the scriptures. Folks, our hope is built upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. Nothing more and nothing less. Let me say this, and then we're almost finished. People want to run back to a profession that they made, correct? We hear it often. Did you make a profession? Well, then you must be saved. That's the devil lying to you. Don't listen to him. Folks, if our profession that we made, if our lifestyle does not line up with that profession, something's wrong. And we're to examine ourselves according to the Word of God. Oh, there are going to be times that we mess up and end up out of character? Yes, there is. But we're not going to stay there. You know why? There's a chastening and scourging of God on our lives. We will turn and come back to the Lord. 1 John 3:19 says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him." 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." Folks, we prove our own selves by the Word of God. We will bring forth fruits meet for repentance. I want to say this again. And a life that's not surrendered is a life that has not been conquered by Jesus Christ. Therefore, that person is still dead in trespasses and sins. Christ is either Lord of your life or He's not your Lord at all. This does not mean that we are perfect. I want to stress this. It's not perfection that we are looking at. It is direction. Because every one of us mess up every day. We have looked at sovereign salvation according to the Bible. I want to encourage you to study the Scriptures. Especially what we went over this morning. Don't take my word for it. We are to have no confidence in the flesh. I don't want you to leave here and say, "This is what Brother Jimmy believes. This is why I believe it." If you say that, you're wrong. You are wrong. You leave here and say, I believe this because it's what the Bible says. I ask my kids all the time about doctrines. I ask them, why do you believe this? And they know the correct answer because the Bible says so. I say, are you sure that you don't believe that because your daddy or your mama believes it? Are you sure that you believe that because you've studied it for yourself and know it? Very important that our kids be grounded upon the Word of God, not upon the Word of the preacher or the dad or the mom. And all of God's people said, amen. Thank the Lord for His grace. He allows us to call upon Him through His grace. He ordains this. He gives us the power to. He saves us. He keeps us saved. Because we trusted Him. You know, those who trust what they've said or done usually live like it. So let me ask you this in closing. Do you know, according to the Scriptures, that you are saved? According to the Scriptures. And I want to say thank God for the Scriptures, for it is the Scriptures that gives us clarity. Amen. We'll stop here this morning.